Okay, this is a lot more relaxed. I like this. I was nervous last time, and I'm not at all today, which is good. I feel a lot more comfortable with the subject we're going over today, so I think y'all are going to enjoy it. It should be good. I'm really proud of y'all for being here tonight, first thing, because I'm sitting there last Thursday night. We go to Cliff's Bible study over in Smithville, and there's only about six of us that go there, and I'm sitting there thinking, how can the world be outside not wanting to be in here? Learning about the truth of what's going on. I mean, they're just driving around, but y'all are here, so I'm real proud of y'all. I mean, that's awesome. And like he just told me, 2002, this was how many were coming on Sundays. So now look. And so the Lord's definitely doing something here. And it's because of y'all being faithful. And the world thinks y'all are an odd bunch. I don't have to tell you that. You know, and all of us who are here right now on a Tuesday night, it's not Wednesday. You know. Okay, my first question for today is, what is your, we'll get to 1 John 1:9, but just not yet. What is your current perspective? Is it worldly or is it divine? And it's a pretty rhetorical question here. Y'all's perspective is pretty darn divine, I hope. And I don't think there's anybody here that I'm visiting tonight that I noticed, so some of these things I'll be able to skip. How was your day today? Any of your fear or worry? Or since Sunday? You're not the only one, I know that. You know, but you're here, so I know y'all want a divine perspective on what's going on. A majority, obviously, y'all know don't even care about Jesus Christ at all, but that's not the case with you. So we're going to try to go through this tonight. So I guess we do need a 1 John 1:9 just in case, to be safe, right? Okay, let's do that. Take a little moment here. Father, thank you so much for another day of your grace and for just revealing all about yourself to us through your written word. And we're not lost on this earth because you've written it down for us to read. And especially us living here in this church age, we've got the entire revelation. Whereas some in history didn't, we get to look at the whole realm, history, present, future. And we just want to say thank you. We pray now that you will be with us and make more of your word clear to us so that we can help those other who are in this domain of darkness and are not in the light like we're in the light. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. That's kind of what we're going to go towards. Domain of darkness versus domain of light. Okay, because darkness and light is mentioned a whole bunch. I know y'all know that. Okay, my first question to you is, if I was to ask you what your citizenship is, and don't orally respond, I want you to think about what would you respond if I came up to you and said, what is your citizenship? The very first thing that comes to your mind. And I'm thinking a majority of you probably know the direction I'm going, so you're thinking I'm a citizen of heaven, right? But you also could have thought I'm an American citizen. Some of you might have thought that, or you might have thought both. Okay? I bet you if you ask most people that are not believers, they're probably going to say what? I'm an American citizen. Okay? Because they don't know about the citizenship in Philippians 3:20. Okay? Is that the only type of citizenship, though, being a citizen of heaven? I guess the question I'm asking is, if you're not a believer, does it make you only a citizen of whatever current nation you're living in? So if you're a non-believer on the earth and you live in the United States, does that just make you a citizen of the United States and not a citizen of anything else? See, we've got dual citizenship we can kind of think about, right? Heaven and the citizenship in the United States. I think that perhaps, I don't know if you'd call it citizenship, but they're definitely a part of something, and that's the domain of darkness. Okay, I would think about in my mind as citizens. Whereas we're citizens of heaven, they're citizens of the domain of darkness. Okay? I want to step back and look at the big picture, and I'm going to try to do this through a story that happened to me and Michelle in Austin the other day to try to get your mind thinking. We're already going to say humility with 1 John 1:9 so we can understand everything, but this is kind of a worldly thing that we came into contact with that definitely humbled us. We went over to, in Austin, there's this really beautiful spring-fed pool. Is it Barton Springs? It's really nice. If y'all haven't been there, you need to go. And we went there on a Thursday, and we walk up to the front, we're all excited. She'd never been there, and we see the sign, closed on Thursdays for cleaning. You know, of course, right? The one day you go. So I said, wait a minute, these people walking by us, they're wet. We can get this done. And so we start walking downstream, and the people are walking past us. And we, sure enough, we come around the corner, we see all these people down below, in the actual springs down below where it's not a part of the pool area. So we got to go in. But what I'm getting at is there was this, when we're walking down the steps to go towards, there was this little girl, 4 or 5 years old, tiny little thing. And she was trying to get down these steps. And I looked down at her little legs, and they were pencils, I mean, you know, tiny little things, with braces on them. Anybody see Forrest Gump? It's kind of like that. She had the braces on her little legs. And Mom and Dad were right there behind her, and she was holding on to the rail going down. And barely one step at a time. Okay, it was hot, 102 degrees, middle of the afternoon. And so we walked past her, and me and Michelle didn't even talk about it. We got back in the truck on the way home, and I said, "You see that little girl?" She said, "Yeah, I did see that little girl." And I was like, "Wasn't that interesting?" I just got done talking to a different person on the phone that was really upset about something that was worldly, that they really didn't need to be upset about before I saw that little girl. And so when I saw this little girl, I was thinking, what do we have to worry about or be upset about? This little girl, 102 degrees, is trying to get down to this water. It's hot. Okay, so I'm going to try to metaphorically attach that to something else. So it might not work, it might, but if it doesn't, still that story probably made you think, I may have some problems, but they might not be that big. Right? Okay. That girl was yearning for that water just like we yearn for spiritual food, is the way I was looking at it. I see our legs representing the old sin nature within us. We still have an old sin nature after we're a believer. Okay? She wasn't alone. She had her parents there. What do we have? The Lord, right? So we're not alone trying to get to that water and do it. So hopefully that kind of made a connection there in your mind a little bit. We're not alone. We got the Father and Jesus Christ up there as our advocate. So we got a maid here. Okay. So are you, in the big picture, we're told that we're supposed to look forward to a new heavens. Hey, Henry. Supposed to look forward to a new heavens and a new earth whereby righteousness dwells and there's no more pain, no more suffering. That girl's not going to have to deal with any of that pain in her legs or anything like that. We're supposed to be looking forward to that. And I know Mike's been going over 2 Peter 3 and talking about that, looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know y'all are too. I'm young. My body probably doesn't ache nearly like some of yours probably does. I got some shoulder issues, but you know, nothing major. So are you looking for a new heaven and a new earth? Whether or not you are, it's going to happen. This one's a goner. Okay, it's going to be wiped out and gone, so you know, I wouldn't be too attached to anything you got here. Not only that, are you looking for Christ's return eagerly and anticipating it? You know, when we meet him in the air, are you really looking forward to it? Or is your mind attached to something here? You know, Michelle's pregnant and we're going to be expecting another little baby. And I'm looking forward to it, but I'd much rather meet Christ in the air, you know, right now. Nothing's going to get me in front of that and yearning for that. Okay, so kind of looking into that. Do you see it as an intrusion, Christ's return? Could it be intruding upon what's going on in your life? Some people do. I know a lot of y'all don't, but some people really, oh no, I like my life here. I don't want to deal with that. Okay. What Pete said the other night really hit me in the heart. The other day, division, you were talking about division in the church when he was up here at the dedication service, and division in the church is caused by a worldly-minded people. Okay? And this scripture lets us know that, Jude 19, I found that one, it says, these are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. And we can't have none of that here because this church is A-okay. Right? So if you recognize that, don't be afraid to tell one of the deacons or Mike if you see that. You know, because we can't have anything separating this church because y'all are growing, we're all growing, and this darkness needs it. Okay? Just a side note, make sure you listen to those that are within this church because we are family, right? Royalty, royal family members. So listen to one another. You know, I'm still bad with names. I don't know everybody's name in here, you know, and I always look at that church directory, but I got to get better. I think we all need to get better at it because we're family. I feel closer to a lot of y'all than I do to some members of my own family because they're not believers, and I can't talk to them about important issues, the only issues, you know. Okay, I'm going to go over 7 key points, and I, topical study, this one's entitled, Do You Love the World? So, do you? Do y'all love this world? Just a question, you can think about it. So if you're taking notes, you can put down these key points as we go. Number one, the world is the devil's domain. Number one, the world is the devil's domain. I'm going to read Luke 4:60 real quick. And the devil said to him, I will give you, talking to Jesus Christ, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. His domain. We know that we are of God. This is 1 John 5:19, another one. That first one was Luke 4:6. This is 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay? So I'm going to ask you another question. Don't answer out loud. When did the physical earth that we're on become a part of Satan's domain? Well, y'all, I'm sure know the answer to that. I'll get to it later when we get to point five. I want to talk about the world system. But when did the physical earth become a part of Satan's domain? Was it when he fell? Number two. Satan has deceived the whole earth. Point number two. Satan has deceived the whole earth. In Revelation 12:9, it says the following. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, I highlighted there, deceives the whole world. Master of deception. Then we look at Revelation 20, a little couple chapters later, verse 3. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So he not only deceives the whole world, he deceives the what? Nations. That's interesting, especially when you're looking at what's going on currently. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So he's blinded their minds. Point two, Satan has deceived the whole earth. I didn't understand that a while back. Now I completely see it. Okay, let's apply that to our current nation. Is he deceiving our nation at all? Y'all think so? I think so. I think there's a lot of deception that's going on right now in our dealings with other nations. Not going to go too far down that tangent. That's not what we're going to hit on tonight. But just know that. It said that he's going to deceive the nations. And I know that we think we're mighty powerful USA, but we've got some stuff we need to kind of fix right now. Because he'll destroy us just like he destroyed Israel. Okay, number point three. Did you know that the world hates you? Did y'all know that? The world hates you? I was going to go towards this if there was somebody I noticed that was a non-believer. I was going to tell them, there's some things at Country Bible Church that we talk about that if you're a non-believer might not rub you the right way. To us it makes total sense, but to the outside world, they're like, what? The world hates you? What kind of God is that? He created this earth. What are you talking about? We live here. We love this world. Well, that's not, the Bible says that the world hates you. We're going to look at some scriptures on this. This is John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. It's more than once there, right? That we're hated. By the way, that's first class condition on that if. If the world hates you, some would say maybe it is, maybe it isn't. No, it's if followed by when it says hates, they're indicative, and that means that it's if and it is true, the world hates you. Okay? It's pretty in the Greek, it's right in your face. Another one, Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end that will be saved. I know here I don't have to explain that it has nothing to do with works. Okay? And we know that it can mean deliverance. But you'll be hated by all because of my name. That didn't bother me. I'm sure it doesn't bother y'all. You know? So is this talking about the physical earth? What's hating us? Is the physical earth that we're walking around on hating us? The world hates you? No, of course not. Have you personally experienced this hate in your own life? From the world? I'm sure some of you immediately are like, oh, yeah, I experienced it. That's a good thing. It's good you experience that hate, because that means you're probably on the right path. Okay? A lot of people don't accept hate and things that are coming out in the right way, but that's a chance for y'all to glorify the Lord, and I know y'all know that. But a lot of people outside would be like, I don't want anybody to hate me. You know, they're not going to see it as we see it here at Country Bible Church according to what the Bible's telling us. Okay, so that was point number three. Did you know the world hates you? Number four, do not love or befriend the world. Okay, you should not love or befriend this world. This, my brother, I was talking to my brother the other day. He works at the comptroller's office in Austin. He's an attorney, does taxes. Okay? And he was talking to, I'm not going to mention any names, he's talking to a lady that he works with. And she's searching right now for truth, and she's kind of coming to him because he's got doctrine. And she said, he said something about, I can't wait until I'm out of this earth, or I'm out of this world, and the rapture occurs. She said, I love this world. And he looked at her and he said, what do you mean? You can't love this world. This world's got a lot of bad stuff going on. And she did not understand what he was saying. She went down the path that a lot of people go, and they say, well, everything's nice. Everything's good. The world is good. She didn't understand that you're not to love this world. Okay, so he was trying to help her, and he's giving her some scriptures now that she's chewing on. That's the thing. When somebody says something like that, you give them what the Word of God says, and it divides us under the soul and spirit, right? And we know that. You can say things all day long. I mean, when you show it to them, and they read it, and they're presented with it in their soul. So I know she's been presented with it, but a lot of people, not just like her, have that thought of this world has got some, it's okay, it's not, you know, I can love it. Okay. Number four, do not love or befriend the world. James 4, chapter 4 says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I didn't get any clearer than that. You don't have to go to the Greek. The English is clear. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I'm not going to love the world. Right? Okay, 1 John 2:15. That was James 4:4 if you were writing that down. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty clear. So if you say, I love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I think he presented that one to her. I'm sure that was double-edged sword. Okay, and I don't want to just slide over this point too quickly. Do not befriend or love the world. Because it's an easy thing to do. And I was talking to Mike on the phone today. He said, you better not just skip over that one. You better stick on that one and go over these points. So I'm writing down real quick. We have the old sin nature. Naturally, we want to be liked by other people. Okay, we don't want other people to be mad at us or hate us. We want to appease everybody, right? It happens to me all the time. So an example, somebody asks you on a Saturday night not to go home early because they want you to finish watching a movie with them, whatever you're doing, okay, you can fill in the blank. Now you have a decision. You can appease those people, okay, they can believe it or not, and you could stay and then not go to church the next morning because you didn't get enough sleep. So what you did was you just appeased them because you're afraid of what they were thinking, and you compromised doctrine. Right? That's going along with do not love or befriend the world. Okay, there's a lot of people in the world that are going to want you to not put doctrine first, and they're going to want you to put their things first. They got priorities. And I know me and Michelle experienced this in our own life. There's been a couple times we've been invited to go do something where we've got doctrine scheduled that night, Thursday night. Okay? I said, what do you think, Michelle? Should we go or should we go to church and listen to the Word? She says, go to church, obviously. But they're going to be upset. Yep. But they're going to see that we made the decision to go to church. And they're going to think about that. Right? So that's something you ought to make sure you're doing with everybody. Because as you keep doing that, they're going to know what's most important in your life, and that's a witness. So if you keep putting doctrine before the world, they're going to notice it. Okay? So I didn't skip over it, Mike. Be gentle yet firm when you're doing that. Okay, you got to be gentle with how you handle it, but you still got to be firm. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, "No, we got to go to church." thank you, but we got to go to church. And what are they going to say to that, first of all? Are they going to look at you and say, church? And if they do, should you be hanging them out with them anyways? Okay? So there's nothing really they can say to that. So don't worry about it. Don't forget the angels either, because they're watching you. So they're sitting there watching that. And they're looking in intently at what we're doing. And so when they say, just put doctrine first. Did you see that? That's what they did. So I think that's always interesting that they're watching us, like right now. It's so awesome that they're doing that. Number five. What is this world system that I'm talking about? We're going to go into this world system. And I've broken it down into three parts. Okay. What exactly do we mean when we use the word world? When I say the word world to you, what comes to your mind? You don't have to answer it orally, but just think about it. Did the world bother you today? It could be a bunch of different things that come into my mind. When I was sitting there getting this ready, I was thinking, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. There's a lot, right? Okay, so I went to the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, and it gave five uses. And yeah, I'm sure some of these are ones you thought of. Number one, the universe. Everything. Anybody think of that one? Number two, this planet we're on. Number three, mankind. So when somebody says the world, mankind, it's an interesting thought. Number four, and follow me on this one, the totality of present life with its experiences, emotions, and possessions. I like that definition. Number four and five are the ones we're going to kind of go off of. Number four, I'll repeat that. The totality of present life with its experiences, emotions, and possessions. And number five, the world order, which is alienated from God, in rebellion against Him, and condemned by nature and by godless deeds. And that one I really liked, because that's the one we're talking about in the world system. I'll repeat it. The world order, which is alienated from God, in rebellion against Him, and condemned by nature and by godless deeds. Okay? The deeds aren't necessarily... What? Okay, one more time. The world order, which is alienated from God, in rebellion against Him, and condemned by nature and by godless deeds. By nature and godless deeds, I chewed on a little bit. I wouldn't be too... trying to zero on that point, I'd go into the world order, which is alienated from God in rebellion against Him. Because that's what I see going on in this world. Absolute rebellion against the Lord. Okay? So it is this system that we will further see was first initiated by who? Satan. Right? You should think of a scripture that comes into your mind of where did that happen? Open up your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. You got to memorize that one. Okay? There could come a time where we don't have our Bibles, and I always talk to Michelle about that when I'm talking to her about scripture memory. You need to put some scripture in your memory, because you could be put in a place where you don't have your Bible. And you need to be able to go there and tell them about it. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Okay, here it is. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the height of the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Can y'all count how many eyes he saw in that? Too many is the answer. This, I was reading a guy's write-up, and he described an interesting terminology. Some of you may have heard this before. It's called creature arrogance. Satan was created. He was a creature, just like us. And he had arrogance. So it was creature arrogance is what was occurring right now. This creature arrogance in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 resulted in Satan's removal from heaven. And where was he placed? Earth. Okay? Not only was he removed from heaven and placed on earth, he was assigned a destiny where? The lake of fire. Matthew 25:41. That needs to be in your memory too. Okay, he prepared it beforehand for Satan and his angels. How many of the angels did he take with him? 1/3, right? Which shows you how deceiving he is. If he could deceive 1/3 of the angels that were in the presence of God Almighty, this guy is a deceiver. And he's deceiving the nations right now. Okay, and in order to better understand this world system of creature arrogance, let's go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28. And this will give us further insight into this creature arrogance. Y'all know any humans that are arrogant? Maybe a brother or sister? Mother, father, a friend? I can name some. I'm not going to, and you don't either. I mean, I can name some. Satan's not the only creature that's arrogant. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 is where we're going to start. You'll just follow along with me. A couple more pages turn, I'll wait. Ezekiel was given a whole lot of insight from the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely amazing to me that men were given the insight from the Holy Spirit. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Not sure if I said that right. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. Who's this speaking of? Satan. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were eternally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, your corrupted wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to the ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. Look back where it says your heart was lifted up. That's the creature arrogance I'm talking about. Okay? It's creature arrogance that he had. We're talking in this fifth section, this world system, I said three parts. Number one part, the devil. That's number one part of the world system. The adversary. I like the way he uses court terms in the scriptures. He's the adversary in court, like a court of law. It's interesting. It's already been judged. Okay, so the first part of the system, the devil. Here we have the start of the cosmic or the world system. The creature of arrogance and defiance of the one and only creator of the universe. That's what started this world system. Okay? The second part, I'm going to give you a hint and see if you can get it. As far as the system is concerned, what's the second part of the system? What happened to humans after the fall? Think about it in your mind. I know you know. A change in our physical nature, right? Okay, so we were all given the old sin nature, the OSN. That's number two in the world system that we're dealing with currently. So because of man's sin, he acquired a distorted physical nature, which has a natural affinity to the creature arrogance of Satan's system that had already began in the world system. I'm going to repeat that again. I'm going to repeat it slowly so y'all can follow me. So, because of man's sin, he acquired a distorted physical nature which has a natural affinity to the creature arrogance of Satan's system that had already begun in the world system. So you have a natural affinity to want to have that creature arrogance because of your old sin nature, just like Satan did. Don't forget it. Okay? Part two of the system that we're dealing with. It's interesting to me how it's cellular. You know, it's some kind of biological old sin nature because of the Immaculate Conception. That's a good witnessing tool. I found with people. You know, you can say, you know what? Why was Christ born of a virgin? And they'll say, oh, because that old sin nature is carried through a seminal birth, right? Through man. Which is very interesting that unfertilized female egg is the only cell in the entire human body without the old sin nature. That is interesting. The way that the Lord set that up in His plan, I mean, that just blew me away. And people latch onto that because they latch onto empirical things. If they're not a believer, a lot of them will. So that could grasp them if you have never tried that. Okay. So the old sin nature is part two. I'm going to read a couple of verses. 1 John 2:16 says the following in regards to the flesh. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. 1 John 2:16 that was. And we have Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You all experience that? I do. Every day. There's so many things I want to do. I was telling Michelle about one. Don't say it out loud. I was telling her about one just today. It was yesterday. I was telling her about something that was in my old sin nature that twice last week I clearly saw it was trying to get me to get into it. Okay, to dive into it. And at that point, I had a decision I could have made. You know, I could depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to keep me filled and keep going the direction, which thank God He did. You know, or you could dive into that. So I know y'all experienced that too, but that's part two of the flesh. Okay. The question I asked you earlier, I'm sure you knew the answer. Y'all can say this out loud. When did the earth come under Satan's dominion? The earth that we're on. Fall. Exactly. He wasn't given dominion over the earth until the fall. Okay, which I thought was interesting. Question. Can anyone think of the third part of the system? You can say it if you think of it. Like, what's the third part of the world system? Number one was what? The devil. Number two is the flesh. What's the third part? I'll give you a hint. Ephesians chapter 6. Demons. How many fell with him? A third, right? So there's the demons we're dealing with too. And people don't take that into consideration. They don't like to think about the invisible and that they're here. I know we're protected massively by that other two-thirds right here at this church. You know, but those demons are evident. That's part three. Okay? Ephesians 6:12, I'll read to you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I can't remember where it was in the Old Testament. My Old Testament is not that good. I'm trying to get better at it. Maybe y'all can help me, where he visually showed the angelic conflict. Y'all remember that? And he saw all the angels prepared for battle. Where was that? Anybody? Okay, it was there. I'll go try to find it. But that's interesting because he was showing the invisible, right? To where you could see it. So it's happening currently. You got it?
It's the one who wanted to show his servant, Elijah.
Elijah?
It's either Elijah or Elisha, but I think it's Elijah.
Okay. That's something to go look at and read that on your own time, because that's so interesting that third part of the system was shown. Okay, so, devil, review. Devil, old sin nature, demons. It's good that we know this, because then we can go through this earth and recognize it. Being able to discern good from evil, right? Okay. Remember, in Revelation 12:9, I read earlier, we learned that this whole program of this world system operates on what? Deception. He is a deceiver. And Mike always says something here. He says, things are not as they appear. Alright? Take that in your own life and really think about it. There are things on this world that appear one way, but are another way. I know y'all have spiritual insights a lot, and you're probably thinking of your own things right now in your mind. I know there's a ton I'm thinking of that I'm not going to talk about. But he is a master deceiver. Okay? Bad news. The unbeliever's place in this world system is automatic from the point of physical birth. You are automatically in the domain of darkness, the world system. That's bad news, isn't it? Or is it good? For us, we can see it both ways, right? Okay. Y'all want some good news? I've hit on this world system for the first 5 points, and I'll give y'all some good news now. And I'm warning you ahead of time, this may shock your mind, not y'all, because y'all probably heard this before. Number six, you can become an alien. Interesting. Don't leave, just follow me. Remember, at the start I asked you, what was your mentality? Was it worldly or was it divine? The good news is this. I'll get to the alien thing in a second. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided a way whereby we can have an awesome mentality living here, even within this world system. That is great. We have what the Colonel calls what? An RMA, relaxed mental attitude. How many people are you in constant contact with and you're dealing with them in this world system and they are freaking out? They're having a rough time. And you're sitting there thinking, if you had some doctrine, you could have an RMA. And you're about to drive me nuts too. You know? And it happens. I've got people I deal with on a daily basis that are in the world system. They try to get my RMA off kilter. But you got to depend on the Holy Spirit to keep you having a relaxed mental attitude. That's good. I used to be so unrelaxed before I was a Christian and started understanding dispensationalism. I'm still working on it. Okay. So the only way you can have that awesome mentality first is what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Saved from what? That world system and condemnation to the lake of fire that was prepared beforehand. You need to memorize that scripture, Matthew 25, what? 41. 25:41. Okay? John 12:46 says the following, I have come into the light, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Oh, I'm so glad we're not in darkness anymore. Isn't it nice to know what's going on? And so many don't. They're just walking around. I've got to go from work to home. I've got to put dinner on the table. I've got to do this and that. And no spiritual thought whatsoever. It's wonderful that we get to have spiritual thought. So great. The believer, at the moment of belief in Jesus Christ, is transferred out of this kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Okay? Some more verses that are displaying this that I'm talking about. Colossians 1:13. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Ephesians 5:8, right before that sixth chapter. For you were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay? It's not going to save you, but you need to walk as children of light. Because then you help all those people that are in darkness. Y'all helped me. Okay? Your prayers for people help. I had a lot of people that were praying for me personally that kept saying, we're praying for you, man. And that irritated me when they said that. You can pray all you want. I don't care. But I know that the Lord listened to their prayers and He led people into my life, such as y'all. It made my mind think when somebody would say, well, the Immaculate Conception? That's interesting. Okay? John 17:6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. That's great. That was John 17:6. I want you to open to this following one. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You can go there. This one's good. But they're all good. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. See the darkness moving into His marvelous light? And it is marvelous. There ain't going to be any more darkness. We're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. And y'all know there's not any darkness there, right? Because Satan's where? Yeah, Matthew 25:41. So, I mean, that's interesting. All light. Love the thought of that. So, a good witnessing tool, you can go up to somebody and tell them you're alien. Alright? And that you're not of this world. See what they say. They might want to go down that tangent of thought and you can talk to them. It's so funny. Okay, turn over to Hebrews 11:9. Michelle always laughs at me because I laugh at my own jokes. Any of y'all do that? I can say the same joke 5 times in a row and laugh harder each time. Oh, I just like it. I'm thinking of one in my mind. It's probably 1 John 1:9. Okay. Hebrews 11:9, the famous faith chapter. To speak of Abraham. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Dual citizenship, right? I'm looking forward to the other country, to be honest with you. Okay, I'm proud to be an American. I pray for our current administration and what's going on. But I would definitely rather be at that other country in the future. Okay? Indeed, I hope all of us are looking towards that heavenly country and not holding on to where you're at currently. Okay, that was point six. Point seven, I've given you the bad news, the good news, and this is the applicational news. So you can apply this. And I have a question for you. Are you in your own little spiritual cocoon? Think about it. Because y'all know a lot of doctrine, you can think. Are you in your own little spiritual cocoon? It's a very safe place. I don't want to get outside of that, do I? I've got my doctrine here in my notebook. I can go to my little comfortable home and don't bother me. Right? Is that your attitude? Better not be. Because there's a lot of people with doctrine, even in the dispensational field, who have that attitude. And I don't want that to be y'all. Because there's a lot of people in the other domain. Okay, so don't get too comfortable. It's easy to do. Here's an applicational newsflash. Because of your alien status, even if you are a believer, which obviously if you have an alien status, you are, there is still a war going on between God and Satan right now. That should take you out of your cocoon. I developed an acronym while I was sitting at home today to help you all think about this. I was going to write it on the overhead, but I'll just tell it to you because I don't see it. I don't think it's here anymore. It's 1987. I love watching the colonel get on that thing and... I mean, perfect Hebrew. Well, actually, the other way. I mean, he was good. Okay. War. W-A-R. You can write it down. W-A-R, because we're going to put a dash next to each one of them. Okay? This is an acronym to help you remember what exactly we've been talking about in this world system, because you are in war. The W stands for within yourself, which is the what? Well, it's in nature. In yourself. Within yourself. That's the W for the war. Within yourself. Acronyms really help you remember stuff. Like if you want to remember the 10 attributes of God's essence, just remember Love's Gyre. L-O-V-S Well, the three O's, actually. L-O-O-O-V-S-J-I-R-E. Loves Jire. And you just remembered all 10 attributes of God's essence. You can go write that out when you get home. Loves Jire. Or lose Jire, like my sister says. But acronyms help you remember. So the W, the war within yourself. Okay? A, the angelic realm. Satan and demons versus God and angels. Ephesians 6. So the A is the angelic realm. This is so you're not in your cocoon and we can know what exactly we're battling against. W within yourself, A, the angelic realm. R, reasoning with this world. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. We're not going to go there now. You can do that for homework. Don't reason with this world. Don't compromise doctrine. That's the friendship with the world. For the R, reason with the world. Don't be a friend with the world. Okay? Don't try to reason with it because you can't. And you shouldn't. This world is being wiped away anyways. Okay? I wonder how big the future Earth is going to be anyways. I know there's no oceans. But it's going to have to be, I don't know. That's another topic. Okay. Here are some verses that explain this warfare and the severity if you don't pay attention. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. These are believers. Suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. They may have had a lot of doctrine, but what did they do with it? Not much. Comfortable home. 1 Timothy 1:18. Fight the good fight. Okay, the next one, 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. I know y'all know that, and I know you've seen it, because it's all over the place. You've got all those pastors on TV right now that are only talking about the good stuff. Yeah, I know names come to your mind. They come to my mind. Joel Osteen, right? You'll never hear him talk about Matthew 25:41. Not downing him personally as an individual, but I wish that he would teach the whole warfare that's going on. Because these people are out there in it, and you can't just go around your head in the clouds thinking everything's good. Because it's not. Okay, 2 Peter 2:1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. A lot of false teachers currently, and we know that. Okay, so what are you to do now with this information? I know most of y'all are already doing this, but we'll go there anyways and read it. Romans 12. If you'll turn to Romans 12. Please. Anybody can probably quote the second verse, can't they? That's a good memory one. Romans 12:2. Okay. A lot of doctrine in Romans. Okay, Romans 12. And be patient and try as much as possible to keep your minds alert because we're going to read the whole chapter together. Because this is the application over everything we just went over is dealing with this world system. And you can take it, you can read it at home and go over it and over it and over it so you know how to deal with it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, how do you say that one? Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, as we are here. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a wonderful chapter. Isn't it? Oh, that's so good. I read it today and I was like, you know what? I don't know which verse to read. I'm just going to read the whole thing. Because that whole thing is talking about how we're supposed to deal with this worldly system that we're placed in. I didn't think I put that one scripture on there, but Jesus said, don't take them out of this world, leave them there. Remember that? He didn't ask for us to be taken out. He said, leave them there so that we can be ambassadors. This study leads into ambassadorship, which you can go look that up and study it on your own. I know you'll know a lot about it. But as being an ambassador for the king, because an ambassador is one who is a representative of the king, well, we're the representative of Jesus Christ here on earth still in this domain of darkness. So we got to figure out how to do that ambassadorship correctly. The only way we can do it is what? Everything in that chapter. And I saw a big one in there, prayer. On how your personal prayer life is. It needs to be great. Okay? Every day. Praying about everything. And one thing that helps me is when somebody gives you a prayer request. Where's she at? It's Joan. Dusty. Dusty needs prayer. Okay, Dusty went in the hospital yesterday. And he's there right now. So that's something that we'll pray about at the end here. But when you hear things that people tell you, I used to say, oh, okay, I'll pray for that. And would I? No. So now when people tell me to pray about something, we stop and we pray for it right then. Because then you're praying for it. And if the Lord brings it to your mind in the future, pray for it again, of course. But if you stop and not be in such a hurry, because that's more important, it'll help. If all of us did that, it would help. Okay, so that's just a suggestion that might help you. You might already do that. I'm sure a bunch of you do. Okay, we do have enough time, so I'm not going to go too far into this, because you know what to do now. Master of deception, right? Deceiving the nations. Did y'all see what happened yesterday in Israel? Anybody? Prophecytoday.com. I know I told you that before, but you got to go there. It helps. Okay, yesterday, 1,500 Jews gathered downtown Jerusalem to protest the current president of the United States of America, Barack Obama. Okay? Because there's a lot of stuff that our current administration is trying to do that doesn't line up with what the Bible tells us to do. Okay? And those Jews recognize that. Not all of them are believers. Most of them aren't. Right? But the remnant is there. Okay? They all gathered yesterday as a protest saying, this is not what the Bible tells us. And no, we can build in our own nation's land that was given to us by the Lord Almighty. Not only that, Egypt needs to go ahead and give Israel back from the Nile over, and then we need to go over the great river Euphrates as well. Not the sort of sliver that they currently have. So keep up to date with current events, with what's going on, because I will bless those who bless Israel and curse those, right? So you can take it to heart or not. You can say, that's interesting, you know, we need to care for Israel, or you can really do it. Okay? We've got to care for the body, the organization of the church, but we still do need to be praying for Israel, the heavenly nation, earthly nation. chosen by God. Sorry. But you can keep up with what's going on different websites. Prophecytoday.com, I suggest. That's great. Okay, to help you understand. And then it helps you to also pray for our current government. You don't come at it from an attitude of hatred. Because then you're automatically not filled with the Spirit, right? So then you're not going to be able to do much help. So it's not an easy thing to do. I'm not going to lie. You know, when there's things that you see that you know are obviously polar opposite of what is supposed to be occurring according to the Word of God, you want to get hateful. So you're going to have to go to war with that one and try to stay spirit-filled when you pray for what's going on with our country. Okay, because we live here and we're allowed to read our Bibles right now, but the Lord just doesn't tarry forever. Okay, so if the rapture doesn't occur and we keep going down the path we're going, we might not have the opportunity to read our Bibles. Okay? All right, let's close. Thank you, Father, so much for this time you've given us tonight as fellow believers, and for just bringing us all here together at Country Bible Church to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came here and put himself up on that cross willingly and experienced my sin, all of the other sins sitting here, so that we could, through faith alone and him alone, go to heaven, that future country that we are so desperately yearning for. We pray now that you will be with this current, our current United States of America, and that you will help us to lean on the doctrines that are taught in your Bible to us, and that you would lead the gentlemen up top to open up their Bibles, read it, understand these doctrines, and then apply them in what we are currently doing. We pray that you will help us to understand this world system, the devil, and what a master of deception he is. We pray that you will help us with our old sin natures. Help us to stay spirit-filled if we know we sin, to 1 John 1:9. Pray that you will just help us to realize there is an angelic conflict going on and that we are not to stay in our spiritual cocoons, and give us the courage that is necessary in this world system, because we're human and we can do nothing without you. We thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.